Welcome to Classical 95.9 WCRI's Conducting Conversations with your host, Mike Maino. 1 hour of music and conversation with notable people in the arts, bringing you the stories of how music has impacted their lives. The show will give a behind-the-scenes look at the guest's background, interests, or special project.
Conducting Conversations is brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, from sheet music and brand name instruments to rentals, repairs, lessons, and more. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.
And now here's your host, Mike Maino.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Conducting Conversations. Tonight, my special guest is the one and only Ed Marquardt of the Rhode Island Civic Chorale and Orchestra. Welcome back, Ed.
Thanks, Mike. It's great to be here, as it always is.
Nice to have you with us, and we're going to find out everything there is to know about the Rhode Island Civic Chorale and Orchestra tonight, leading up to their concerts, which are going to be this coming weekend, Saturday, May 16th, at 7:30 p.m. at the Cathedral of Saints Peter and Paul on Fenner Street in Providence, and then Sunday at 3 o'clock at St. Joseph's Church in Newport, correct?
Correct. You got it right.
I got it right. All years of practice. So it's nice to see you again, and this is going to be a great concert. Some special guests we'll get to talk about. Let's just check up on the chorale and see if there's any new news. Things are rolling along well, I hope.
Things are rolling along very well, Mike. We're very happy to do this concert. It's the culmination of a years-long work, and it's one of the greatest pieces ever written.
I guess that's one of the things I would ask about. A lot of people don't quite understand how long it takes to prepare for something like this. I know in my background, the kind of style of singing I do in my quartet, we memorize everything and then we repeat it almost every show we do. We go out and we sing. If we're doing the Frank Sinatra song, I Got a World on a String, then we've sung that for 38 shows. I've got the world on a string. That's not the way it is with your group, right?
Not at all. We're lucky this time that we get to do two performances of this great work by Johann Sebastian Bach, the B minor Mass. Culmination of his life's work. We do three concerts a year, and we're very lucky that two of them get one repeat in Newport. So it is quite different that way. We rehearse 2.5 hours every Wednesday night now for the last 3 months to do this, plus a couple of Saturday rehearsals, and then the dress rehearsal week in which we try to put it all together with the orchestra and the soloists and so on.
All right, so this music is going to be, is there a title to the concert itself?
Or? Well, there is, but it doesn't mean much to those who really don't know. The little blurb above the content of the concert says Soli Deo Gloria, which means to God's glory alone, and it is what Bach wrote at the end of every composition that he wrote.
At the end of every composition?
Whether it was secular, a concerto, the piano works, or I should say almost every piece, and certainly all of the sacred works he wrote to that.
Wow, all right. Well, we have a lot of music to get in today, so I want to talk more about the makeup of the chorale and the soloists that are going to be coming and things like that. But let's get to this first piece of music, which is a little bit long, so we'll try to listen to as much as possible. Tell us about this piece you've selected.
This is the very first movement of the great B minor Mass, the Kyrie Eleison, for full chorus and big orchestra.
Thank you.
Ed, you mentioned full orchestration along with the chorale, and that's a normal thing, right?
Yes, it is. We do all our concerts with orchestra, hence the Rhode Island Civic Chorale and orchestra. We're very proud of that, and we're very lucky that we both in hiring the players, which our personnel manager, Gene Crisafulli, and trumpet player does an excellent job, and our audience has come to expect that this is the kind of music that we will do. Mm-hmm. And for me, it's the most interesting kind of music as well.
Now, as maestro, you're charged with not only conducting the chorale, but the orchestra, right?
Correct.
And you have one hand doing one thing and one doing the other?
No, they both do it all at the same time, pretty much.
Yeah, all right. And that must be a daunting task. And have you ever stopped to think about, you know, there are X number of professional football players in the world, and X number of baseball players, and X number of, you know, brain surgeons. Have you ever wondered about how many concert directors could be that would have the talent that you do to have the ability to direct the chorale and the orchestra?
Lots.
Lots?
You really
think
of
so?
Them, sure. Yeah.
So more than 10.
Yeah. Tens of thousands might be more like it.
Well, it seems like it seems like a pretty unique situation. I know if we just looked at Rhode Island, we took Rhode Island as a state, you'd probably have a handful, I would think.
Well, sure. Myself and Larry Ratcliffe, certainly.
Right.
George Kent with Westerly when we do those kinds of works. And, of course, my background, when I began, I was an instrumentalist, so I have that to bring to the table as well. And for 40 years, I conducted the orchestra at Rhode Island College. Mm-hmm. 25 of those years, I conducted the chorus and the chamber choir as well. So,
I think you're playing it down a little bit when you say tens of thousands. I mean, it's a pretty unique.
It's a pretty big world, Mike.
it's a big world, but when we get it down to Rhode Island scope, we can probably name most of the people that are capable.
I think you're probably correct.
Yeah, so that's pretty neat. Let's talk a moment about the soloists that are coming in. There are going to be five this time.
That's right. Everything in this mass, practically, there are five parts to the chorus for the most part. There's one movement which has six, and then there is one movement which is for double choir, which I use a quartet of the soloists and the full chorus for those two choirs. And then there are five solo parts as well. Mm-hmm. And they are Diana McVeigh, soprano. Dana Schnitzer is the other soprano. There are two soprano parts. Dana has since we printed this, gotten married, and so it's now Dana Gara. Mary Phillips, mezzo-soprano, who's a Rhode Island native, as is Diana. Richard Kennedy comes to us from Penn State University. He's sung with us many times and has sung with the Boston Symphony. Aaron Engelbreth is one of our favorite singers. He's been here many times. He's sung with the Boston Symphony and throughout the world, actually, and he comes from Minneapolis this time.
Singing baritone.
Yes.
Okay. And I do recognize Richard Kennedy and his name as someone that's been around for quite a while.
He has. I first met Richard, I can't really say how many years ago it was. I don't remember, actually, but he was a fellow at Tanglewood when I first heard him, a student at Tanglewood many years ago in the 80s.
Wow.
And we've maintained this professional and connection and friendship for quite a few years now. I've worked with Aaron for almost 20 years. Mary Phillips is a former student of mine at Rhode Island College, as is Diana McVeigh. We have a rather close relationship these days.
As we giggle, if you're not sure, Diana and Ed are married. That's why that's a pretty close relationship.
Yes, it is. She's in Milwaukee right now, but that's all right. She'll be back for this concert. She comes back tomorrow, actually, on the 11th.
There you go.
And Dana, I heard her audition for me 2 years ago, and I just love the voice, and she's a wonderful person, so we're having her back as well.
Okay, what do we have for our next piece of music?
I think we're going to do the Christe Eleison, which is a duet for two sopranos. And the interesting thing about this Bach piece is it's the summation of his life. He worked on it up until his death in 1750, largely the last 16 years of his life. And what he tried to do or lay out was an amalgamation of all the styles that were available to him from the Renaissance through to the coming Rococo or classical period, which his sons became very much a part of and leads to Mozart. So it's a compendium of all these kinds of styles. This duet is a forward-looking sort of piece which will become more prevalent, that style, in the classical period.
As I mentioned earlier, some of these pieces are a little bit lengthy, and we've had to just listen to portions of them, but I think we might get these this next one in before our break. Tell us what's coming up here.
We have the Gloria in Excelsis and the Et in Terra Pax, and for the first time in the Mass now, we add three trumpets and kettle drum to the mix, and it's a big festive dance. It's just a marvelously exciting movement in the Mass.
I might be tempted now to come to see this performance. Will you be dancing yourself? Or?
I try to.
Okay. We'll listen to that, then take a short break and be back with more of Ed Marquard and the Rhode Island Civic Chorale and Orchestra.
Hey!
Welcome back to Conducting Conversations. I'm Mike Mano, sitting with Ed Marquardt of the Rhode Island Civic Chorale and Orchestra. And we're talking about the concerts coming up next weekend on Saturday, May 16th, 7:30 p.m. at the Cathedral of Saints Peter and Paul. That's on Fenner Street in beautiful downtown Providence. And then the next day, Sunday, May 17th, at 3 o'clock, at St. Joseph's Church, 5 Mann Avenue in Newport. So a little traveling. You probably all hop on the charter plane and get from Providence to Newport.
Absolutely. We have a better time getting to Newport than they do getting up to Providence. You know?
Well, it's great that you're able to share the music and share the wealth. How long has that been going on that you've left downtown Providence?
That we've what? I'm sorry.
That left, you know.
Go out to other places? Probably 8 or 9 years. It hasn't been every year until recently. Mm-hmm. This is our second year in a row, and we will go back next year. We do Messiah again next year, and we will take that to Newport as well. So it's great for us. As you mentioned earlier, you do many performances with your group, mm-hmm. and we get one shot most of the time. And it's really great to be able to do it twice in a row. And even so, it's a different performance each time, as you well know.
Sure. Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Music happens in time.
Yes.
And once you do it, it's gone, no matter what the recordings tell you.
Yeah. It always seems a shame that once it's gone, it's gone, and that, you know, there aren't ways to bring it to let's take it to Woonsocket, and let's take it to Westerly, and let's put it on the road almost, but.
Well, that would be terrific. There are a couple of things, of course, which prevent that. The bottom line certainly comes into play. But also, one keeps in mind that this is a chorus made up of wonderful people, but all have other jobs.
Well, they all do something
else. They all do something else to put food on the table, and so it's a little tough to sort of monopolize their time.
Right. So, but it is a wonderful presentation. So you have two opportunities this year, either in Providence on Saturday or Newport on Sunday. So let's get back to the music and talk about this next piece.
This is one of the more, they're all exciting in one way or another, but this is another piece that's sort of a dance form. The Baroque was largely made up, as opposed to symphonies such as we have later on in music from Mozart on and so on. Most of the music in the Baroque was based on dance movements. And so this is a very fast and exciting Cum Sancto Spiritu, and with the Holy Spirit. And again, the trumpets and the kettle drum are involved in this, giving it sort of an extra pizzazz.
Thank you.
definitely spirited in its in its cadence.
Great choice of words there, Michael.
We mentioned earlier that I mentioned to you off air, but the audience has no idea that I mentioned it, so I should say it now.
Some of those things, it's probably just as well.
Who has been performing, or who has been performing the music you're listening to?
This is the Bach Collegium Stuttgart from Germany, and it's conducted by the great Helmut Rilling. It's one of the greatest Bach choirs in the world, and Mr. Rilling does a summer festival and has for the last 35 or 40 years in Oregon, in Eugene, Oregon, at the University of Oregon campus, called the Oregon Bach Festival, strangely enough. And it's branched out somewhat in recent years, and they do Brahms and Mozart and so on, but it's great, and it's a learning experience. He has classes there. Conductors go to learn how to conduct Bach. It's a wonderful choir. Usually young students are in the chorus, and several of our soloists through the years have gone out and been soloists for Mr. Rilling also.
Excellent. All right, and what do we have for our next piece?
This is the part of the opening of the next movement of the Mass, the Credo, which states what the people believe. And again, as I mentioned earlier, Bach wrote this piece as a compendium to his life's work. And so there are all kinds of styles, from Renaissance, from Palestrina, up through early classical period kinds of writing, which we heard in the duet. In these two back-to-back pieces, the first is based on a chant and is set sort of like Palestrina, although with sort of a Count Basie kind of walking bass under it. And then the next one, the full chorus joins in again with the trumpets and the whole orchestra.
We will listen to that, then take a short break and be back with more.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Conducting Conversations. I'm Mike Mano, sitting with Ed Marquard of the Rhode Island Civic Chorale and Orchestra, and we're talking about next week's concert coming up on Saturday, May 16th at 7:30 p.m., Cathedral of Saints Peter and Paul in Providence, and then Sunday afternoon, 3 o'clock, at St. Joseph's Church in Newport. And Ed, tickets are available, right?
Yes, they are, either by calling 401-521-5670 or visiting our website at www.ricco.org.
ricco.org will get you information. If you want more information about the performers or different things, check out the website. And a good way to get tickets in advance, and don't be shut out. All right, that's a good thing. And, Ed, we haven't touched much on things in the future for the chorale and orchestra, but next year is coming along soon, right?
It is, and we have a wonderful season planned. We've already chosen the repertoire. I have not yet hired any soloists, but that I just got the budget approved. That's
so
why that
I've got a shot.
You do. You have a big shot, Mike. Just keep these bottles of water coming, and I'll be fine. We open the season in November, the weekend of Thanksgiving, with our Messiah performance, which will be done both in Providence and in Newport. In March, again, it will be our eighth annual collegiate vocal competition, which is open to full-time students enrolled in colleges, universities, or conservatories in Connecticut, Massachusetts, or Rhode Island. Mm-hmm. And also on that concert, we're doing a wonderful work by Ola Yalo, a young Norwegian-American composer. I believe he's 26 years old. And joining us on that concert will be the Jump Dance Company.
Wow.
And we're really looking forward to that.
That's
I've
very
seen
cool.
them rehearse in the last week or so. And then the last concert, which we also hope to do in Newport, as well as Providence, will feature Fauré's wonderful Requiem, as well as Benjamin Britten's Cantata Misericordium.
An ambitious season coming up next year. Sounds like it's going to be great. Let's listen to one more piece of music here, and then we'll come back and wrap it up.
Great. This is the Et Incarnatus Est from the Mass. I might say that there are those who arguably say that this work that we have the privilege of performing in a week might possibly be the greatest piece of music in Western civilization.
Ed, once again, we come to the end of the hour, and it's been great to listen to the music and hear the stories and some of the things that go on with the Rhode Island Civic Chorale. We did talk about the website and the fact that tickets are available through that, but also there's more information there, right?
There is. For your delight and entertainment value, we have the bios of the five soloists are also on that website, and I think the audience would be interested in finding out more about them.
There you go. And probably can find out more about you, too, on the website.
If they care to.
If they would like to do that. It's very interesting reading. And we have an event coming up at the end of the month that hopefully you'll be with me at. I believe my quartet will be performing once again at McCoy Stadium for the Pawtucket Red Sox. And we have the privilege of singing the national anthem and then God Bless America after the sixth inning. And then at the very end, for Memorial Day night, Monday night, we'll be singing America the Beautiful. And when we're done, fireworks will be going off. Now, what makes that special and the reason I'm mentioning it now is Diana McVeigh will be singing America the Beautiful with us. Or we'll be singing with her, actually. We're the follow-up. We're the Pips at that point.
That's the backup band, yeah.
So hopefully you'll be able to come along and join us. So for those of you out there that want to catch Diana McVeigh in person and you're not available this coming weekend, you can always see her at McCoy Stadium and where her true love is, baseball.
Listen, you don't know how true that is.
All right. Well, Ed, thank you very much for coming in. Thanks for bringing the music. It's always a pleasure to see you.
It's my pleasure to be here, Mike, as always.
And we'll look forward to another Conducting Conversations next fall when we get ready for the new season. But right now we have one more piece of music. Tell us what this is.
This is the great Sanctus and the Osana from the B minor Mass. Coincidentally, Bach put together this compendium of his works, and this is probably the oldest reworked part of this Mass. It actually made its first appearance in 1724. The other thing about the Mass is Bach never heard it in its entirety before his death. And we find it a great privilege to perform it. If I'd like to give the last word to the late, great Archibald T. Davidson, who was a conductor of the Harvard Chorus, and he said this: to be permitted to share the thoughts of one whose genius knew no limits, to sense that one has played an active role in recreating a timeless work of art, offers us at least a lasting resource of life and leaves us at least different being from what we were before.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Ed, and we'll see you all next week on Conducting Conversations.
Thank you.
Conducting Conversations was brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, using music and the arts to keep your child educated, entertained, and having fun. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.